Bhagavad Gita, as it is, chapter 6, text number 7, chapter is called Dhyana Yoga. Chitatmana prasantasya paramatma samahita shitoshna sukadukeshu tatamana pamanayo. For one who has conquered the mind, the super soul is already reached. For he has attained tranquility. To such a man, happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor are all the same. Srila Prabhupada's purport, actually, every living entity is intended to abide by the dictation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is seated in everyone's heart as Paramatma. When the mind is misled by the external illusory energy, one becomes entangled in material activities. Therefore, as soon as one's mind is controlled through one of the yoga systems, one should be considered to have already reached the destination. One has to abide by superior dictation. When one's mind is fixed on the superior nature, he has no alternative but to follow the dictation of the Supreme. The mind must submit some superior dictation and follow it. The effect of controlling the mind is that one automatically follows the dictation of the Paramatma, or Supersoul, because this transcendental position is at once achieved by one who is in Krishna consciousness. The devotee is unaffected by the dualities of material existence, namely distress and happiness, cold and heat, etc. This state is practical samadhi, or absorption in the Supreme. So the text again. Jitatmana prasantasya paramatma samahita shitoshna sukadukeshu tatamana pamanayo. For one who has conquered the mind, the super soul is already reached, for he has attained tranquility. To such a man, happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor are all the same. The Bhagavad Gita takes place on a battlefield. So there's a lot of talk about victory, defeat, conquering. But here Krishna explains what we're trying to conquer. Or as it says that, as there's one great devotee in the Srimad Bhagavatam or in the Krishna book, Muchakunda, who had conquered practically the whole universe. And he said, actually, and that's when it's conquered his mind, there's no question of conquering the universe. In other words, it's much more difficult to conquer one's mind than it is to conquer the universe. And indeed, Arjuna, after hearing this verses in Bhagavad Gita, the 6th chapter, he asked Arjuna, he said that, actually, you're describing this yoga system to me, but I can't follow it. Because the mind is restless, turbulent, very strong, O Krishna, and to subdue it, it seems to be more difficult than trying to control the wind. Now, if we think we've conquered our mind, that's just another trick of the mind. The real test of controlling the mind, as Krishna says, in answer to Arjuna, is that asam shayam mahavaho manodir nirgraham chalam abhyasena tukuntiya vairagyena chagriyate. It is undoubtedly very difficult to curb the restless mind, O Arjuna, but it is possible by suitable practice and by detachment. So there's abhyasa, suitable practice, and vairagya. Vairagya means not simply detachment as most people think of it, as that I have nothing to do with it. But Krishna explains detachment as vishaya vinivartante niharasadehinam rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishva nivartate. That the embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains, but ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, one becomes fixed in consciousness. So the secret of conquering the mind is to get a higher taste. But how do we get a higher, what is that higher taste? The higher taste is to experience Krishna, Krishna consciousness. That's what we're proclaiming, that if we become conscious of Krishna, then we reach the perfection of life. Yamam eva masamudo janati purushottama sasarvavit bhajante mam sarvabhavena bharata. That anyone who knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting is said to be the knower of everything. And therefore he engages himself in devotional service without any doubt. In other words, to experience Krishna means to experience the totality of all pleasure, happiness, bliss, love, affection, etc. Which is actually very attractive to the conditioned soul, since everything we're doing is with that in mind. Unfortunately, we're in a desert presently, where we may search for love, happiness, pleasure, friendship, affection, and we may get one drop in a desert. So a drop is a drop, even in a desert, but it's not very completely satisfying, because then we spend the rest of the time looking for another drop. But if we can get an ocean, Ananda Buddhivardhanam, then we'd actually become satisfied. But in order to get that ocean, we have to be able to hear. So what's the problem with hearing? Is that we have to become qualified to hear from the devotees. Because obviously, as we probably have noticed, the deities are not talking to us. And even the books don't talk to us. Hopefully the devotees will talk to us. What's the problem? Why don't we hear the devotees? Because in the material world, everyone has come here to become the supreme. Therefore, everyone is much more inclined to listen to themselves than to listen to anyone else. And especially when someone's going to tell us directly or indirectly that we're not the supreme. It's quite an insult to our false ego. It's the last thing we want to hear. Now, if someone says, my dear audience, you're all so effulgent, I can hardly see you. You're all the supreme as far as I'm concerned. Let me surrender to you. Then everyone will think, oh, this is a very intelligent speaker. He's actually seeing things as they actually are. And if the speaker says, my dear audience, you're very nice, but you're not the supreme. The audience, many people in the audience will think, what? Who are you to tell me I'm not the supreme? You think you're the supreme? To tell me that I'm not the supreme? So many people will become very disturbed hearing that they're not the supreme. Since, after all, we've been working since time immemorial to become the supreme. You mean you're telling me I've been wasting practically eternity trying to become the supreme and I haven't made it yet? This is a great insult. This is called blasphemy. The fools, they deride me at my descending into this human-like form. They don't know my transcendental nature, my supreme dominion over all the being. And therefore their hopes for liberation, their fruit of activities, and their cultivation of knowledge, they'll all be defeated because they don't recognize who's really the supreme here. Therefore, to learn how to hear from the devotees means that we have to serve their instructions. And the best devotee, of course, is in our society that we recognize is Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada didn't just say to serve me, he said we also have to learn how to serve the other devotees. So that takes a lot of practice. Because if we get it right and we do some service to the devotees in their loving exchanges, as Srila Rupa Goswami said, if we actually develop a relationship to the devotees, those who are trying to serve Krishna, in relationship to Krishna. I remember one time one of my senior devotees asked me if I would go to the Philippines to help another sannyasi. And in the back of my mind I was saying, this devotee is always trying to get me to do something today. Because in order to fulfill his plans, but he never really takes my plans in consideration. So I was sitting there with my mind talking to me, no way. And then a little beep, beep. By the way, you know, if you do this to serve Prabhupada, maybe you'll make a little advancement. So I said, all right, I'll go. And I went there, and Krishna gave me probably some of the highest realizations I've had in Krishna consciousness. And I realized it was only because I surrendered, not just to Prabhupada, I surrendered to Srila Prabhupada's disciple, to his follower. And it was surrender. I mean, I felt it was surrender. It was the best surrender I had at that time. So, Krishna will reciprocate with us according to our following his instructions. And his instruction is to develop a loving relationship, first with the devotees, who are telling us how to develop loving relationships, and showing us to different degrees how to do that. And then we can develop loving relationships with all living entities gradually by following those instructions. But sadhana, when we're chanting Hare Krishna, or we're hearing this lecture, or we're chanting our rounds, whatever we're doing, the whole idea is not just, you know, to get our rounds done or check off another Mangalarti or whatever we do. The whole idea is to help us develop loving relationships with Krishna and with Krishna's devotees. And superior devotee means one who's understood how to serve the other superior devotees in order to develop even more loving relationships with the other devotees, how to serve them appropriately. That means superior devotee. Not simply the number of years we've been in the movement or been associated with Krishna. Superior devotee means one who's he's mastered his mind by engaging it in Krishna's service. And engaging in Krishna's service, apurimanam achala pratishtam samudram apapravishanti yadvat tadvat kama yam pravishanti sarve saishanti matnoti nakama kami. That there's so many desires flowing through our minds. Some of them are Krishna conscious, will help us become Krishna conscious, because they're coming from Krishna conscious devotees. And others are flowing through our minds, oh, don't listen to this person. Do your own thing. If it feels good, do it. You know, no one believes these things. They're ancient books written by frustrated people who couldn't enjoy like you can. So don't listen to them. You know, don't waste your life. Use every moment to gratify your senses as much as you can. And don't listen to this idea of some coward boy in Vrindavan as the Supreme Personality of Godhead who herds cows. Do you want to do that for eternally? Just help him herd cows? Is that what you want to do? Do you want to take this seriously? Or look at all the success that modern civilization has had. You can get a new computer, a new car, new boyfriend, girlfriend, everything goes. You're just free to do whatever you want to serve your senses here. Why be so uptight and restrained to hear about Krishna, some ancient cowherd boy? Not only that, but he drinks milk. How could he know what's going on? He's not even a vegan. He's old-fashioned. He has so many cows, and he doesn't eat them. Why does he have so many cows if he doesn't want to eat them? All right, he drinks the milk, but drinking milk is for the calves. Why does he have so many cows? How much milk does he have to drink anyhow? Why does he have so many cows? Makes no sense whatsoever. No, we have to try to hear about Krishna and try to develop a relationship with Krishna's devotees, which is favorable, especially the topmost devotee like Srila Prabhupada, who was always so considerate to everyone that he met. Especially he was considerate because he tried to give everyone Krishna consciousness. He may have had different ways of dealing with different people. Generally he was very soft and kind, and sometimes he was very hard. But behind whatever he was doing was always to give people Krishna, to help them advance in their Krishna consciousness. And that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction too. Yari deka tari kaha Krishna upadesh amara aga guruhana tari desh. That whoever we meet, we only have really one relationship that we have to consider. That here is Krishna's servant, and I'm Krishna's servant. And Krishna wants me to serve his servants. And therefore the way I serve his servants is to help them become Krishna conscious. Because there cannot be any greater gift to give someone than Krishna. Because however great we may think ourselves or anyone else might be, but compared to Krishna, we're all insignificant. That there, even in terms of beauty or wealth or renunciation or fame or strength, no one can compare it to Krishna. Nor can anyone compare it to Krishna with one's ability to be help us, to protect us, to provide for us, and to love us also. Wherever we go, Krishna is accompanying us. As Paramatma, as it says in this verse. If you went into the heart of a hog, became a hog, do you think your mother would come with you also? In your next lifetime, if you become a dog or a hog, your mother say, well, my son became a hog, maybe I should become a mother hog. Are they going to follow us? But Krishna follows us. Whatever body we take, he's there to help us. So who could be a better mother, who could be a better father than Krishna? Who could be a better friend than us? Krishna is our best friend. And if we know that, we take shelter of Krishna, then we have the best protector, the best provider, the best friend. Someone who's full of pleasure and wants to share that pleasure with everyone. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada is the best example of someone who dedicated himself completely to giving people Krishna. And not only he was dedicated to it, but he was expert at it. Otherwise, none of us would be here. Unless we just wandered in here. But even that's not by accident. So the conclusion is that what we're trying to do is develop loving relationships with Krishna and with Krishna's devotees. Because Krishna and Krishna's devotees are non-different. Krishna is directing his devotees, and therefore the devotees are the same as Krishna, simultaneously one and different. And to develop a relation with Krishna means to develop a relation with Krishna's devotees also. And to develop a relation with Krishna's devotees means to develop a relation with Krishna. Therefore we have sadhana, and in our sadhana someone is chanting, and others are listening. And if we appreciate the fact that this devotee is chanting, and we actually take pleasure in it, then we have a very nice relationship developing with that devotee. They may have stolen our maha yesterday, and we may resent it, but if we hear them chanting Hare Krishna and appreciate that here's a devotee of Krishna, and they're chanting so nicely to Krishna, then the result is that we develop a close relationship with that devotee. And if that devotee hears us chanting and they appreciate it, then also a relationship is developing. And what to speak if we offer them prasadam, or they we accept prasadam from them, or we tell them something about Krishna and they tell us something about Krishna. What could be better? What could be a better relationship with that? What more can someone give us? What more do we want from anyone? If they give us name and fame, or whatever else, is that going to help us very much? Oh, my dear devotees, you're so wonderful. Oh, yeah, I know that. Anything else? Yeah, you're so brilliant. Yes, 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 of course. You're so kind. Yes, of course. Yeah, just keep on going. Your words are nectar to my ears. But you're a rascal. What did you say? What do you mean I'm a rascal? I'm a great devotee. No, if we were great devotees, what do we come to the material world for? No, we have to hear from the devotees. Of course, they should say nice things to us. We just don't want to hear things that are not very encouraging. But at the same time, we should have at least relationships with some devotees who can tell us the truth. Who can actually... We feel that we're on the same level, that we're walking together on the same path, and they're prepared to be honest with us. And we're prepared to accept what they're saying as something that can help us develop close relations with Krishna and the devotees. And we're prepared to take their support and give them support. We need some relationships like that, just like we need examples to follow. Those who are further on the path than we are, we need examples to follow and appreciate. They may not be completely perfect, but we have to see in which way they are perfect. And that way we'll become perfect ourselves, or better. And we have to have devotees we have to help. Not that we keep it all for ourselves and we're going back to Godhead and we send a little note back to everyone, wish we were here, it's great. I'll send an email, I'll send a video. No, we need devotees we can actually, when we learn something, we need devotees we can share it with to help them on the path. If we're further on the path, then we have to tell them how they themselves what the path is and how they can get to it, at least where we are. We don't have to tell them that we're perfect, we know everything, and therefore you should surrender to me, Prabhu, surrender. Otherwise you're finished. No, if we're further on the path, we should invite them to come at least to where we're at. Tell them how nice it is where we are. And to point out those who are further on the path and how nice it would be to be where they are, and we can go together. That's loving relationships with the devotees. The most important thing is a sense of awareness of where we're actually at, and a sense of awareness of what we have to do to come to a higher platform. So we have to have the vision of who's higher than we are, the vision who can help us on the path, who we can walk together with, and who we can help bring up to a higher path. Then we'll have proper relations with all the devotees, and Krishna will be very pleased. Because Krishna is more pleased when he sees the devotees are cooperating with each other. As a matter of fact, that's what Prabhupada said. Your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate to keep this movement together after my disappearance. So we may shout Prabhupada's name, we may do so many different things, but if we cooperate with each other to become Krishna conscious and to give this Krishna consciousness to others, under Prabhupada's directions, under the directions of all the superior devotees, Śrīla Prabhupāda, the six Goswamis, and anyone who's higher than we are, that we can learn something from, they're also representatives of Prabhupada and our acharyas. Otherwise, how did they get further than we are, if they didn't take it more seriously than we do? They got there by following superior devotees, and that's how we'll get there too. So thank you very much. I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Yes. Our microphone is coming.
Thank you for inspiring lecture. I would just like to ask, when associating with devotees, how can we make sure that we don't act in such a way that we would like to put ourselves in the center in any way? So how can we really have like pure motive? How can we assure that we have pure motives when associating with devotees?
Well, we can try to purify our motives. And the best way of doing that is to think that three things. Everything here belongs to Krishna, including myself. Therefore, I should find out from Krishna, his words in Bhagavad Gita, and from his representatives, what he wants me to do. And then when I humbly investigate, when I can see clearly what Krishna wants me to do, what Krishna wants me to think, what Krishna wants me to say, then I'm prepared to do it just to please Krishna. And if we practice like that, then gradually Krishna will reciprocate with us. We'll think of him, and as we're thinking about him, we'll see that there's nothing nicer than to think about Krishna. There's no higher motive than to do something to please Krishna. And therefore, gradually as we experience that, and the happiness of pleasing Krishna, then all the any other ideas will go away. They'll seem insignificant. Any other motive will seem insignificant compared to that. Anything else? So we have 3 minutes left, so I have a 3-minute lecture. So Krishna consciousness in the beginning, I joined in 1968, and it was simple, maybe too simple, because we didn't know very much. But one thing we knew is that one thing everyone talked about was Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, because he was the example. He attracted people from nowhere. And then gradually the association of devotees grew. It wasn't perfect, but it wasn't very complicated either. Because we had no money, we had no buildings, there was no internet, there was no Facebook. We didn't read newspapers because we couldn't afford them. We didn't have to, we had telephones, there was no one to call. So all we had to do is devotional service. And devotional service meant going out at least after some time, 8 hours a day chanting Hare Krishna. So it may sound rather primitive. In one sense it was quite simple. But in order to listen to someone for 8 hours a day chanting Hare Krishna, your mind had to surrender after at least the sixth hour. And since we're all doing the same thing, there had to be some sense of appreciation. It couldn't be too much of a sense of superiority. As a matter of fact, when we started to distribute back to Godheads, whatever we collected was put into one, we just pool it together. There was no sense I did more than you did, because we didn't know how much we collected either. It was just all put in one place. So it was quite simple. The relationships, for the most part, were quite simple. It wasn't perfect, because we weren't perfect, but the atmosphere is such is that there is less complications and more of a camaraderie. The devotees I distributed books with for years, you know, we're still friends with each other. We still have that sense of, the devotees I joined with in the beginning, there's a sense of camaraderie. So that's what Krishna consciousness is supposed to be. It's supposed to be quite simple. It's not supposed to be very complicated. Our process is not very complicated. Prabhupada is hearing and chanting about Krishna, chanting the holy name, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, worshipping the deities, serving the devotees, and trying to spread Krishna consciousness and make the atmosphere spiritual. That's all we have to do. There's nothing else that has to be added to it. We don't need big buildings, we don't need, you know, elaborate systems of management. As Prabhupada said, one should organize one's life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours a day we cannot help but think about Krishna. That's good organization. Organizing so everyone can think about Krishna 24 hours a day. And all these complications, simply that's what they are, they're complications. We think about more the complications than we think about Krishna. So that we have to try to avoid. Even in our own life, or in the temple life, or in any life, if we simply add Krishna, then everything will be all right. So I'll stop there. Thank you very much. Bhagavad Gita ki jai.